I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. Hi, how you doing? Thank you for joining me, and let's have some fun and an informative time today, shall we? I'm so glad you're listening in, that you're interested and concerned and want to do more for this home that we live on planet Earth, because every change is going to be made is when each of us, each one of us, and that means you and 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 me, get together and make change. Now, I just want to ask for a little pity in this moment. I lost my wallet. Can you believe it? How many of you have lost wallets out there? I'm sure we all have lost something precious from time to time, but it's, oh my goodness, it's just, you just feel like you're no man's land. I was traveling and I was making sure I was so careful with everything that I had. And somehow when I arrived at my destination, the wallet was gone with everything in it. The only good thing, and I'm so grateful for this, and you know, as I like to talk on this program, there are always things you can find to be grateful for. And that's how you end up feeling good no matter what the situation is. I had my driver's license in my back pocket, so even though all the credit cards and a little bit of cash is gone, and I hope if you found my wallet, you're enjoying that cash and using it for something good, I did have my driver license, and it's very easy to shut down all your credit cards and get them back. So, whew, it was a little uncomfortable. I just thought I'd share that with you so you know that all kinds of interesting things happen to all of us. Anyway, I'm just recovering from that right now, and I thought I'd share it with somebody. So let's start talking about food, okay? And I want to bring on my first guest. He's been on this program numerous times, and I am in awe of this person and all of the time that he has invested in making this planet a better place. Richard H. Schwartz, PhD, is the author of Who Stole My Religion? Revitalizing Judaism and Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal Our Imperiled Planet, Judaism and Vegetarianism, and Judaism and Global Survival, and Mathematics and Global Survival. And he has over 200 articles and 25 podcasts at jewishveg.com/Schwartz. Richard, how are you today?
Okay, really great. Thanks for having me on. Really sorry to hear about your wallet, and I hope you should only have good news from now on.
Well, thank you. I'm going to close the window here because there's a lot of excitement going on outside, and we don't need to know about that. As I mentioned, I am just so in awe. You always have energy and enthusiasm and working towards the good fight. Could you tell everybody how old you are?
Okay, yeah, well, I just turned 82. Few weeks ago.
82. Can we all give you a round of applause?
Oh, thank you. But I was born at a very early age. Born at a very early age, so that sort of helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's to another 82.
Thank you.
And I hope during the next 82 years, you really see some of the things that you've been working so hard for.
Thanks, and you should also be blessed with many more years because you're doing such wonderful work there as well.
Thank you. Okay, now let's just get right to it. You wrote a book about 4 years ago, I think it was, Who Stole My Religion?
Yeah, the new edition's coming out hopefully next month, but this time with a really bigger publisher, a lot of changes, and they're hoping to promote it not only in the U.S., but in Canada, the U.K., Israel, Australia and South Africa. There's going to be a hardcover book, and I'm really hoping that it'll do well because it's like a wake-up call to the fact that the world's heading toward a climate catastrophe, and Judaism has very powerful arguments that can help, and hopefully we'll start to apply them even more than today.
Yes, well, I remember reading it.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Publisher didn't find you. Why did they want to publish this new revision?
I'm sorry. Why would they want to publish it?
Yeah, the new one that's coming out.
Well, again, I think they see the possibilities at this time with many areas. As you well know, and I'm sure you've discussed as an environmentalist and on many programs, the world's heading toward a climate catastrophe. We see that so much. We have these super wildfires in Canada recently, tremendous flooding in Houston, Texas. And there's such a scientific consensus. As you know, something really amazing in a way, last December in Paris, major climate change conference, just about all the countries, 195 countries all getting together. How often do so many countries agree on anything? But they all agree climate change is a major threat, and we've got to do everything possible about it. And, of course, one of the unique things I'm trying to bring in here is something overlooked and something that didn't really get that much attention at that very important Paris conference, as important as it was and as a great step forward as it is, that is that animal-based agriculture is a major, major contributor to the emission of greenhouse gases, so that it looks like, unfortunately, unless there's a major shift to the vegan diets that your program promotes so well week after week, there's very little chance we're going to avert that climate catastrophe. So that's why we've got to get that message out as effectively as possible. And as you mentioned, I have another book called Judaism and Vegetarianism, pointing out the very, very strong case that there is for vegetarianism and even more so veganism in Jewish teachings.
Okay, so let's talk about applying Jewish values to help heal our planet. What's the connection? And, you know, you're going to tell us what the connection is, and not all Jewish people get that connection either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the chapters I have asks the question, is Judaism a radical religion? And I answer very affirmatively, treating radical in the best sense of the term. I mean, it's very powerful teachings that Judaism has. And the biblical prophets were one of the greatest champions of social justice. For example, Judaism teaches tzedek tzedek tiradof, justice, justice shalt thou pursue. In the Psalms it says, seek peace and pursue it. The verse that occurs most often in the Jewish scriptures involves some variation of be kind to the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. So because of that, one rabbi indicated that Judaism has a special kind of justice that he calls empathic justice, taking into account the stranger and other people. And very powerful, and again, a very strong case for vegetarianism, because I try to point out, first of all, that actually veganism is the ideal Jewish diet, because that was God's first regimen in the first ideal time, that is in the Garden of Eden, and that's right there in the very first chapter of the Torah, the Jewish scriptures, in chapter 1, verse 29 of Genesis. And then, that's the beginning, and then in the end time, the ideal time, the messianic period that Jews yearn for, that is, again, according to First Chief Rabbi, Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cohen Cook, First Chief Rabbi of Pre-State Israel, and other important Jewish scholars, that the Messianic period, the ideal time in the future, will also be vegan. And he based that on a very powerful prophecy of Isaiah that, among other things, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the lion will eat straw like the ox, no one shall hurt nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. And I also based that strong case on six very powerful Jewish mandates, fundamental Jewish teachings, that we are to preserve our health, treat animals with compassion, be co-workers with God in protecting the environment, conserve natural resources, help hungry people, and seek and pursue peace. So again, very powerful teachings, and it's urgent that they be applied, and that's what my book tries to do, a wake-up call. We don't have to go to other religions, thank God. We have, as other religions have as well, very powerful teachings on compassion and justice and peace and environmental sustainability and resource conservation. And with the world threatened, as arguably never before, it's urgent that this become a priority in the Jewish community. The beautiful Hebrew phrase, tikkun olam, means a healing, repair, and proper transformation of the world. That has to become a central focus in all aspects of Judaism, and I hope by example of other religions as well.
Well, this is all beautiful. I don't know who could argue with you about any of these premises, but yet many Jewish leaders are not really promoting these. So where do you have any idea where the disconnect is? I'm always searching for why doesn't everyone get it? But even though those that are on a path to follow the laws and the philosophy of the religion, they'll even find reasons to eat meat.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've heard the saying that denial is not just a river in Egypt.
You know, that's my favorite.
Yeah, and it seems, unfortunately, most people are in effect rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as we head toward a giant iceberg. Now, first of all, I want to make it very clear that there are many who do get it. There are many Jewish groups. There's a group, the Coalition on Environment and Jewish Life, that's involved. There's an Orthodox group called Kanfei Nesharim, an environmental group that's trying to increase awareness of Jewish teachings on the environment. So there are definitely people, and there are rabbis that are doing things, but far more must really be done. And so I'm hoping, and that's why I really appreciate this opportunity to be on your program, and I'd like to urge everybody listening to really contact their rabbi, priest, minister, imam, any religious leader, write letters to editor, because this is the existential threat to the U.S., every other country, the entire world, to all life on the planet. Again, it's an amazing, amazing thing. By the way, as you must know, this past year, 2015, was the warmest year, breaking the record just set by the previous year, 2014, and 11 consecutive months up to this past March, we don't know yet about April, were record-breaking months. In other words, March 2015 was the warmest March since 1880, when temperature records were kept. Mm-hmm. And the 17 warmest years all have occurred since 1998. So we're really on a plateau. And just reading an article about the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is at record levels, above 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide, above the 350 parts per million carbon dioxide threshold that scientists think are safe. And unfortunately, we're on a path toward possibly 4 or 5 degrees Celsius, which would mean an almost unlivable world. So this has to become a basic factor in all aspects of life. And I'm trying to promote it, of course, in the Jewish community, but hopefully beyond that, because among the blurbs and very positive comments I've got, some are from Christians and some even from Muslims. So hopefully it'll have an impact.
Yeah, I see that all religious communities are really an ideal place to learn about this message and do something about it. Just because, to begin with, religions ideally preach compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It fits right in. And in addition, the religious communities, they come to a place, very often there's food. It's an ideal place where everyone can come together and say, let's do this differently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, you remind me that with compassion, every single day in the daily prayer services, there's sayings, Baruch Merachem al Haaretz, Baruch Merachem al Habriot, which is, blessed is the one God whose compassion is over all the earth and over all the creatures. And one of the basic Jewish teachings is that we are to imitate God's attributes of compassion and justice, etc. And it's throughout the scriptures and all, and there's so many positive things about compassion and kindness and environmental sustainability and the fact that God's compassion is there. God is concerned, therefore we have to imitate that, and that should be fundamental. I mean, the rituals are important, keep people involved in religion, should be reminders, but the teachings about social justice and working for a better world and beating our swords into plowshares, and by the way, it says in Genesis 2:15, right after some people say, by the way, God says we have dominion, and that gives us a license to do things, but the sages indicate dominion means responsible stewardship. And two proofs of that are that right after dominion in chapter 1 of Genesis is that Genesis 1:29 I mentioned, which indicates God's initial dietary regimen, strictly vegan, about the herbs and the fruits, etc. And then in Genesis 2:15, it says, what is the human purpose? God put the human being in the Garden of Eden to work the land, but also to guard it. So we are to be shomrim, guardians, shomrei ha'amah, guardians of the earth, in imitating God.
So do you have any idea where we went wrong along the way? Because all these religions have these great ideas, and yet the majority of people that I know that are religious don't follow them to the letter.
Well, unfortunately, there's a great emphasis on the ritual. Again, very important. You know, Judaism and sure the other religions involve laws between humans and God, very important, but also between humans and our fellow human beings. And, you know, as a matter of fact, in Yom Kippur it says, you can't ask forgiveness from God for a sin you've committed against another person unless you first get forgiveness from that person. So the human relations are super important. Again, there are these teachings, but unfortunately in the schools they do a great job of teaching people how to pray, how to look up a text, interpret it, read the language, speak the language, all highly commendable, but... And by the way, I have a chapter at the end, again, which is part of the subtitle, Revitalizing Judaism, by saying we have to stress these important teachings on justice and peace, they say compassion, environmental sustainability, etc., and also build them into our celebration of the holidays. Each of the holidays has a message like that, like Passover, of course, a message of freedom. Then there's Tu B'Shvat, a wonderful holiday, which is now like a new year for the trees or a Jewish Earth Day. So we have these messages. And by the way, I'm trying to restore an ancient Jewish holiday, which was a new year for animals.
I love that.
Because as a motto, there's Tu B'Shvat, the new year for trees, and that sort of, when the temple was destroyed, was no longer need for it, but the Kabbalists of Sfat, very committed Jews, restored that and made it into a year of planting of trees and eating fruits and completely vegan foods and saying blessings. And that really is becoming more and more popular, as they say, as like a Jewish Earth Day. And so the New Year for animals, again, because at the end of the temple, no more animal sacrifices, thankfully. But now there's still much emphasis on sacrifices, on what animals you can eat. Permission was given, reluctantly, to eat meat. And there's not enough emphasis on Jewish powerful teachings on compassion to animals. So I would hope to restore that holiday as a way to greatly increase awareness of Jewish teachings on compassion for animals and also increase awareness of how far the realities on factory farms and laboratories and other settings is from Jewish beautiful teachings on compassion to animals.
Well, I vote for that to be a global holiday for all and not just a Jewish holiday. That sounds like a beautiful thing.
Well, I agree 100%.
Now, you're 82, bless you. And how long ago did you become a vegan?
Well, actually, I became a vegetarian first in about 1978 and a vegan, I think, around 2000.
So it's been a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, they say vegetarians don't live longer. It only seems that way. It's a terrible joke. But I'm trying to get the word out on this because it's so super important, because I've been arguing that the shift to vegetarianism and even veganism is a very important individual choice, but far, far more important is becoming a societal imperative. It's really, you know, it's madness and sheer insanity to tell you, just to give you a couple of examples why I say that, we know that the world is increasingly facing water shortages. You know, the glaciers are melting, the aquifers are shrinking, and yet a person on an animal-based diet requires about 13 or 14 times as much water per person than a person on a vegan diet. And with an estimated 20 million people, mainly children, dying of hunger and its effects every single year, it's incredible. 70% of the grain produced in the U.S. is fed to animals destined for slaughter. And making it even more insane is that we take very healthy foods like soy and corn and oats, feed them to animals, and we started with a product that had no saturated fat or cholesterol but was high in complex carbohydrates and fiber, and we end up with meat, of course, with just the opposite, very high and unhealthy saturated fats and cholesterol, devoid of fiber and complex carbohydrates. So it's really madness, sheer insanity. And in doing this, of course, we're treating the animals so abominably on factory farms and really putting the entire environment in great danger.
Now, you've been an activist for decades, and you continually have all this amazing energy, and you just don't stop. And many activists burn out after a while. So what is your secret? How do you continue to be so energetic and optimistic, and how is it you just keep persisting?
Well, I guess the main thing is just to realize what the alternative is, that the future of humanity is at stake, and thankfully I have some wonderful grandchildren. I want, of course, a decent world for them, and I mean, just knowing that, as I said, it's just the madness and sheer insanity that animal-based diets, it's so negative and all that, it's so irrational. So it just, and the arguments are so strong. And unfortunately, it seems like every single day in the papers or on email, you read an article saying, my gosh, it's even worse than I thought. I mean, just today, I was reading an article about that tremendous wildfire in Canada. Yeah, and one of the articles said, on a scale to 1 to 10, pollution is at 38, way off the charts. Another article said that because of sparks, this has the potential of creating other fires. And we know, by the way, because of these fires, well, one of the articles said like 10% of the amount of carbon that Canada normally puts into the atmosphere has just been put up there by this fire just in 2 weeks. And we know that this is happening in so many areas, like California has really been hit. You know, they had heat waves causing a drought, which caused wildfires, and the governor's saying that the wildfire season used to be a few months, and now it's almost all year round. And then when the rains do come, they're often very heavy, causing mudslides. And this has made the current governor, Jerry Brown, make a statement. It's like a summary statement of what the issues are. His statement is that humanity is on a collision course with nature. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, somebody has said, nature always bats last. So, again, this has to be fundamental. Again, I appeal to listeners and say, you know, you all have your jobs, you have your families, you have limited time, but whatever you can do, try to get a program into your synagogue. Try to write letters to editors. Try to get your rabbi to speak, or a minister, or a priest, etc., to speak out and speak to your fellow congregants, to your family, your neighbors, your friends, co-workers, and let them know that if they want a decent world for any children, grandchildren they may have, and future generations in general, this has to become a priority issue.
Absolutely. Now, we just have a few minutes left. I want to talk about the beautiful, happy side of choosing this lifestyle that you're talking about, which is not exploiting animals, excuse me, by not eating them. Okay. So here you are. You're 82 years old. How's your health?
Well, thankfully, pretty good. And, you know, I try to do water aerobics, try to use a stationary bicycle. Try to walk. My voice, I have to admit, is not as strong as it used to be, but I try to hang in there, and wife and I are planning a whole new life to make Aliyah to join our two daughters and their families and wonderful families in Israel, and I'm hoping to be very active there. For years, I've been visiting them for various holidays, and a couple of times we've come longer for a celebration or a bat mitzvah. Then I go on a speaking tour, and Israel is way out on the forefront when it comes to veganism, by the way. There's been a surge there, but so I'm hoping to build on that and keep going because the time is short and the work is great, as Talmud tells us, and much to be done.
Yeah, so tell me, do you have a typical diet of food that you eat?
Okay, well, a lot of salads with hummus. Hummus, I think, a Middle Eastern dish, and we have like a stir fry on our Sabbath often, and different quiches and things of that sort. But a lot salad, and of course, a lot of fruits. Love oranges, tangerines, grapes. So we try to make fruit salad often. And there's so, as you know, so many more foods in the fruit and vegetable and grain kingdoms and the animal kingdoms and all. So plenty of great food, and very thankful every day that God spares me and gives me a chance to enjoy life and hopefully make a difference.
Yes, well, you definitely are. So what is the release date for the new revision of Who Stole My Religion?
Well, I'm hoping in June, it might be late June for that to come out. And if anybody has any ideas for promoting it, possibly writing a review or blurb or something, they can please contact me at Veggie Rich. That's VeggieRich. Some extent of play on words, veggierich@gmail.com. And also, you mentioned it before, that the website, jewishveg.com/schwartz. I have there, as you said, 200 plus articles. Also, the complete text of the third edition of my book, Judaism and Vegetarianism, can be freely read at that website, as can another of my books, Judaism and Global Survival. So I hope people will go there, take a look at the articles, and feel free to, quote-unquote, steal them, build on them, and promote them in other ways.
Well, thank you for putting this together and offering so much information for people to steal, to share for free. That's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food. Still, I can't believe you are just the amazing activist that you are. Keep it up. Woo! Go, Richard Schwartz! Yoo-hoo!
Thank you very much, Karen. And you too. Best of luck. Best wishes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we were listening to Dr. Richard Schwartz, the author of Who Stole My Religion? Revitalizing Judaism and Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal Our Imperiled Planet. And we need a lot of help, and we need a lot of groups spreading this message. And that's why I like to check in with Richard Schwartz from time to time and see what he's doing in his community. It's beautiful. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with my next guest, Tyler Pierce, the vegan cyclist.